Well, good evening. Great to see you. Thank you for coming along tonight and forsaking Strictly and all sorts of other things that you have forsaken to be here. And, you know, one of the things that I absolutely love is when God arranges surprises. And I've just had a surprise this evening, and I'll tell you what it is, and it makes me excited as to why each one of us is here tonight. There has been absolutely no coordination between the musicians, Cartlin and myself, about tonight. But I want to lead us in praying again what we've just been singing a few moments ago. And I hope that in the next few minutes you will see how incredibly, incredibly relevant this is. It's lovely when the Lord brings it all together in a way that we actually couldn't. So let's just pray. And I'm going to lead us in just praying those words that we've been singing, because I honestly believe this echoes the desire of God's heart for this island of Ireland, for his church in Ireland, not just the church of Ireland, his church in Ireland, and also for the people of this land. Here is something of God's vision for his people on this island, north, south, east, and west. So what we're praying is actually totally, totally in line with what he wants. So let's just pray. Lord, the prayer of our hearts is that there will be love shared among us, that there will be love in our eyes, Lord, and we cry out to you that your divine agape love will sweep this nation. Cause us, O Lord, to arise. Give us here tonight, Lord, a fresh understanding of brotherly and sisterly love that is real, genuine, authentic. And Lord, we pray that your love, love of a different kind, will be shared in the lives of people, young, middle-aged, elderly, right across this island. Lord, we cry out to you to pour out your Holy Spirit of love, power, joy, patience. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you have your Bibles with you, I'll tell you in a moment which passage we're going to look at. Oh, good. Because what we're actually looking at tonight is to try and answer this big question which Carlton pronounced so attractively. What is love? Okay? And that's what we're going to try and unpack together this evening. And I think if I said to you, and I'm really being so kind and charitable, if I said to you as a group of people, I think mostly from Northern Ireland, but not exclusively, what is the best known verse in the Bible? Exactly. Look, I mean, I couldn't make it easier for you. But even if I hadn't put that up, you would have known it immediately. Most of you, I'm quite sure. Right, let me push the boat out a little bit further. Supposing I said to you, as a teacher would say, well done, that's a great answer, you got it absolutely right, you nailed it, John 3:16. Now, I want one of you to stand up and tell me, please, what 1 John chapter 3, 16 says, without looking at your Bible. Okay? I could see some heads going down there very quickly. I'm not going to ask you to do it, but I tell you this, only a small number of us would do it. Most of us know John 3:16, but what about 1 John 3:16? I honestly believe with all of my heart that the truth of God contained in 1 John 3:16 and in that passage we've read tonight is one of the greatest needs on this island of Ireland in the year 2018. I'm absolutely convinced of it. So we need to be really open to what the Lord is saying. As some of you know, I am 50% Ballymena blood. And as you know, the reputation of Ballymena people is not our generosity. And of course that comes from Scotland, because many of the people who settled in County Antrim, Ballymena area, came from Scotland. And in fact, my grandfather on my mother's side, his family several generations back had come from Scotland. And there's a wonderful story about a church in Scotland, and it was the offertory hymn, as we call it, in the Church of Ireland. And people were standing, singing, the plates went round. And to the horror of those who were collecting that particular Sunday, the plates were empty. Not even one penny, like it would only happen in Scotland, or maybe County Antrim in some places. But they brought the plates forward, and the rector held up the alms dish, and this is what the congregation heard him pray. "We thank you, Laird, for the safe return of the plates." Well, you see, there's always something to give thanks for, isn't there? "We thank you, Lord, for the safe return of the plates." Now, he was longing for more than that. And that happened one day in another church. When the offering was taken, the group who were counting the money were counting it in the vestry after the service. And in the midst of all the money, a generous giving of money, not empty plates, one of the people counting discovered a little folded bit of paper. And they opened it up, and somebody had written three words. And the three words were these: "I offer myself. I offer myself." Wow. I dare to suggest that in the eyes of God, that was probably the most valuable, precious offering that day. Someone offering their heart, soul, mind, and strength to the Lord Jesus. You see, when we do that, the money follows. What God is looking for is he's looking for the love of our hearts, just as we've just been singing. What's that last verse of In the Bleak Midwinter? The very last few lines, "I give my heart." That's what the Lord is looking for. Because he knows when he's got our heart, he's got all of us. It's out of the heart that the mouth speaks. It's out of the heart that the actions come. What John is talking about here in what we call 1 John chapter 3 is actually about an offering. And who was it made the offering? What is it 1 John chapter 3 verse 16 says? Because it tells us what real love is. Real love is about an offering. And what does John say? "This is how we know what love is." So what is it? That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. If you want to find out what real love is, John has just told us. Real love, we see at the cross. We see, we were singing about Bethlehem a moment ago, or the birth of Christ. In his birth, in his life, in his death on the cross, we see what real love is all about. And it's about offering. It's about giving. It's about generosity. This is how we know what love is. That Jesus Christ laid down his life for us. So what follows from that? Well, John tells us. And we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. So what John is saying to these Christians he's writing to is quite simple. Listen, folks, it's just like this. If real love is Jesus laying down his life for us, then the implications are that if we really love him, if we want to be men and women, young people of love, then we're going to lay down our lives for him and for others, others, others. In the 1970s, I can't remember whether I was still curate in Marilyn or just left. Some of the young ones here, like myself, may remember. But there was a great event in London called Spree. It was organised... Which year, Gordon? There you go. You see, I knew somebody would remember it. 1973. Gordon Porter was even young then. It was amazing. In fact, he was in our youth group. Makes me feel like a dinosaur. But anyway, 1973, Spree in London. And there was about 10 to 12,000 young people there. We went in busloads from Northern Ireland, young people, right over on the ferry boat down to London. And there was one of the sessions I will never, ever forget. A well-known preacher, an elderly man at that time, called Lindsay Clegg, was being interviewed. And he was asked this question: if you could sum up in one word what being a Christian is all about, which word would you say to all these young people gathered here? I wonder what you think he said. I was thinking of different words that he might say when that question was asked. Do you know the word he said? Others. I've never forgotten it, because it was a surprise to me. I thought he might have said Jesus or cross or salvation or gospel or something. He said others. Do you know, the more I've thought about it, how wise that answer was. Not least in a culture now, in 2018, where in the Western world we live in a culture that is marked by total and utter selfishness. I will lift my name on high. I will always sing my praises. Isn't that the anthem of so many people? It's all about me. And what John is saying here is, it's not. It's not. Real love is Jesus laying down his life for us. And real love, then, is about us laying down our lives for him and for others. Generous, kind, thoughtful, selfless. Thinking of who? Others. 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 Do you want to know how selfish we all are? Try to get out onto the main road up there sometime. How often does somebody stop and... Seriously. You know, Helen laughs at me sometimes because I have a passion about kind of letting people out. And you should see the shock on people's faces sometimes. They can't believe it. You know, the jaw drops. Like, even just on Friday night, we were flying back from London and there was a man clearly wanted to get ahead in the queue. And so we just said, there you go. He kind of looked at me as if I was wise. Allowing him to move 1 yard in front of us. He just couldn't get over it. We spent the next 5 minutes having a powerful chat. He was actually an exams team leader, I discovered. But anyway, I have no vested interest because my exams are all over. But it was the shock that somebody would actually, you know, a little simple act of kindness. Thinking of others is not part of our culture nowadays, but it's part of the gospel. It's what Jesus lived. And it doesn't matter what age we are, folks. It's for all ages this. We are to love one another at whatever age we are. Lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. John has just said in verse 11, the first verse that Carlton read for us, this is the message you've heard from the beginning. And what is it? We should love one another. So it's right there from the ABCs. Whether we're elderly, bottom left. Dear children, let's not merely say that we love each other. Let us show the truth by our actions. Or whether we're kids, top right. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. Parents of young children here tonight, do you always see them just with their arms around each other? Helping each other. Well, there's such a thing as original sin, isn't there? We all know about it. Sometimes it's... Helen sometimes says that she still has bruises in her arms from the way her brothers treated her when she was young. Normal family life. But hey, in families we're called to lay down our lives for one another. Think of the other person. There's a lovely, lovely couple, Helen and I know, who have been married for over 60 years. I think they're both about 87. 2 weeks ago today, Marjorie had 8 people for Sunday lunch. A couple of days later, she was in hospital. A week ago, she was critically ill in hospital in Dublin. Sepsis. Her whole system being totally poisoned. We were praying that she would survive. She has survived. Thank you, Lord. Do you know what her daughter told us? The staff in the hospital, she's now out of ICU and she's back in a ward. The staff in the hospital cannot get over what? The way Eddie and Marjorie love each other. He's thinking of her. She's thinking of him. And it has just blown the staff out of the water. You cannot believe it. So long since they've seen this kind of love. Laying down their lives for each other. Folks, this is what it's all about. This is not rocket science. This is what John is saying here is part of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus. This is how we know what love is. If Jesus laid down his life for us, then we lay down our lives for each other. We think of somebody else, not of me first. We're kind, we're generous, we're thoughtful, we're selfless. Isn't that what Ireland needs to see today? I'll never forget the funeral of David Irvine. You remember the leader of the PUP party? I wasn't at it, but there was a huge big service on the Newton Arch Road, but I saw it reported on the telly. In fact, I was so impacted by a couple of things that I heard on the radio that had been said at that service that I contacted the minister of the church to see if I'd get a recording of the service. One man who paid a tribute to David Irvine, it wasn't a family member, it was a friend. During his tribute, this is what he said. He said, "I'm not a religious person. I don't know if there is a heaven or not. But," he said, "I want to tell you this. When I see the lives of some of the people in East Belfast who talk to me about heaven, I don't know if I want to be there." Do you know, that broke my heart when I heard that. I thought, God, forgive us. That our lives, people who profess to follow Jesus, we'd be the stumbling block. Not the gospel message. No, the lives of the gospel messengers are the stumbling blocks. If we're living out what John is saying here, folks, that kind of thing doesn't happen. If those people, that man, had listened to and known and met in East Belfast, were living the life, we're walking in the truth and walking in love, following the message we've heard from the beginning, doing what John is talking about here and laying down our lives for one another and thinking of other people, I tell you, he wouldn't have been saying that in the Methodist Church in the Arts Road in East Belfast. May God forgive us. None of us are perfect. We all get it wrong at times. That's why we say sorry to God. And we repent. And then we seek to live in the power of his Spirit, the way he wants us to live, and be people who make a difference. It's interesting that the word in the Greek that's used here in verse 16 for laying down our lives, it's the same root as the word martyr in Greek. Tithemi is the word. And it's talking about, this is what martyrdom is about. Christian men, Christian women, literally willing to give their lives, even in death, to be faithful to Jesus, to own him as Lord, and not to deny him. They are willing to give everything. And by the way, do you know that in the 20th century, there were more Christian martyrs than in the previous 19 centuries? So let's not think martyrdom is something from way back years ago. It's happening today as we speak. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are willing to lay down their lives for Jesus in death as well as in life, just as Jesus did on the cross. This is what it's about. So, this is going the whole way, folks. We're not talking here about something half-hearted. We're not talking about something away out there. We're talking about something that's intensely practical. 24/7, life-related for you and for me. Do you know what some of us do? And I have done this. Wonder if you've ever done this. It's dead easy to say, "Oh, I love the whole world." Dead easy to say that, isn't it? What about the man next door? "Oh, well, now that's different. He's noisy. Untidy. Gets on my nerves a bit. Have you ever seen this old little phrase, to love the world, to me is no chore. My big problem's the man next door. Isn't that right? Isn't it amazing how people can fall out with one another over the stupidest little things? I remember as a little boy it happening in one side of my family, and two aunts stopped talking to each other for ages all over a little wedding present. I mean, really, it wasn't a matter of life and death. And it's the little things that we allow to become big things and destroy relationships. So let's not hide behind the big generalizations. Oh, I love the whole world. What about our relationships with members of our family? Our relationships with other people in the church? I wonder, do we need to actually say sorry to somebody, honestly? Why let something fester? Why let it go on and on and on? Let's take it by the scruff of the neck and say sorry if I've done something wrong to you. It's part of laying down our lives for one another. You see, I think there's a huge misunderstanding, isn't there, in our culture of what love is. Just watch the telly. Some of the soaps or some films. I love you. He's not talking about love at all. He's talking about lust. What he's really saying to this woman is, I want your body. I'm not interested in you. And when I get what I want, I'll move on to the next one. Kind of butterfly. It's not love, folks. That's not thinking about the other person. I came across this and I thought this was brilliant. Look at the contrasts between true love and fake love. True love is about giving. Fake love is about getting. True love is all about you and about the other person. Fake love is about me and what I want, my pleasure and pleasuring. Real love is thinking of the other person, putting myself in their shoes. True love gives from the heart. Notice, gives. Fake love gives just because it wants something in return. Do you know people like that? They'll only do something if they get something out of it. If there's something in it for them. What was in it for Jesus dying on the cross? He was thinking of you and of me. Real love, folks. Thinking of others. True love forgives. Fake love seeks vengeance. True love appreciates you for who you are. Fake love tries to change you into the way I want you to be. True love is about truth. Fake love's about lies. And there's so much misunderstanding now about love. I remember years ago hearing two teenage girls chatting on the train from Coleraine to Belfast, and I couldn't believe it. I heard one of them say, oh, I wouldn't marry him, he doesn't believe in divorce. I thought, bless us all. Well, that's a great way to think of love, isn't it? In other words, I just marry you for a wee while till I get what I want, and then I said all over. You know? Where's the real love in that, folks? Now, please don't misunderstand what I'm saying. When you go through a broken marriage, it is heartbreaking, and sometimes it happens. And our God is a God of hope, and there is hope ahead. But we don't go into marriage expecting it only to last for a year or two. Real love is about giving, giving, and giving again. It's about generosity. It's about kindness. It's cross-shaped. Jesus said, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. See, that's a dirty word in our culture, isn't it? Self-denial. No, in our culture today, it's all about what I want, pleasuring me. Being a Christian is about denying ourselves and putting Jesus first and thinking of others. Laying down our lives for our brothers and sisters. See, this is what agape love is. That's what John is talking about here. Real love. Real love is agape love. It's generous. It is grace-shaped. It's Jesus-shaped. And look, he is so practical, John, isn't he? Look at what he says next. Verse 17. If anyone has material possessions and sees his brother in need, but has no pity on him, how can the love of God be in him? Dear children, let us not love with words or tongue, but with actions and in truth. With actions and in truth. Do you hear what John is saying? Real love is not that gooey, wooey, shiver to the liver stuff. It's practical. It's intentional. If somebody is hungry, we want to feed them. If somebody's homeless, we want to get them somewhere to live. I was preaching in Green Island this morning and had a fascinating chat with somebody over the tea and coffee afterwards. And this person was saying they'd been in Lurgan yesterday. And I don't know where there's a telephone booth in Lurgan, because so many of the telephone booths have gone. But they said in this telephone box they found a tract and I think a CD or a video or something. And they've listened to it, and they were profoundly impacted by it, because it's a testimony of some person who'd become a Christian. And part of his testimony was this, that he was kind of homeless. And he went to a church, but because he wasn't dressed respectably the way other people were, they didn't make him feel welcome. He had long hair, and he had jeans on, with holes in them, and whatever. And he didn't feel welcome. He went to the pub. And the pub owner was so concerned that he hadn't a home to live in. He said, what can we do for you? How can we help you? Folks, it should have been the other way around. The church is where that should have happened. Isn't that what John is saying here? If anyone has material possessions and we see the brother in need, but we don't have any pity on them, in other words, we don't love them, how can God's love actually be in us? Do you know, there was one time I was coming back from South America. It was the time, do you remember the volcano or volcanoes went off in Iceland? And there was volcanic dust all over the place and flights were cancelled here, there and everywhere. And I was flying back from Brazil to Dublin via Portugal. And we got to Lisbon in Portugal. Couldn't go any further. We're told it'll be maybe 4 or 5 days before you get a flight back to the United Kingdom or Ireland. I thought, oh my. Now, that's not a happy situation for a husband and wife, let me tell you. Anyway, cut a long story short. There was one person I'd seen on the flight and heard speaking English, and he and I had chatted a little bit. His name was Dave. We got to Lisbon, and he said to me, Ken, you're not going to make it from here. Listen, why don't you come with my brother who's meeting me at the airport, and come with me and... You know, I have different friends have apartments in Albufeira, and we'll get you an apartment. I thought, oh my goodness, I didn't know this man from Adam. And do you know who he was? His name was Dave Madden. What did he own in Albufeira? The Irish pub. So here I are, Bishop in the Church of Ireland, Irish pub over from Albufeira, and he's offering me a lift. And it was a few hours' drive from Lisbon to Albufeira. And then I didn't know. I thought, I'm not sure if I can trust this man. You know the way all sorts of things. So I thought, no, I'll play safe here. So I said, listen, tell you what, Dave. I think I should stay here tonight. And I'll try and sort stuff out. And then if I can't get something sorted, I'll ring you tomorrow. Well, he said, Ken, I have another idea too. The Magners lorry will be coming from Kilkenny. He said, you know, I could ask the guy, could he could maybe give you a lift back in the lorry. I thought, oh my word, wouldn't that be powerful? From Portugal through Spain, through France and across the English Channel through England in the Magners lorry. Bishop in the Church of Ireland, that would make some headlines, wouldn't it? Anyway, next morning it was quite clear I was not going anywhere. So I phoned Dave, Albufeira. He couldn't have been kinder. Told me where to get the bus, told me to meet me at the bus station, told me to come to the pub and get my food every day, put me into a lovely apartment, and I got half of my book written during 4 days there of total peace and quiet. The generosity he showed. Folks, that's what should be happening in and through the church. That's what John's talking about here. If you see someone, and they don't have material possessions, and you do, help them. Practical love. If we know somebody who's lonely, let's visit them. Don't think, oh, well, Carton and Simon will do it. Let's do it ourselves. If we're disciples of Jesus, we're to show love to our brothers and sisters. Let's just get on with it the way he wants us to. So as I say, this isn't the gooey, wooey, shiver to the liver kind of stuff. This is practical, life-changing, community-transforming dynamic that John is talking about here. Isn't this what Paul talked about, writing to the Romans, Romans 12, 1 and 2? Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, in view of the cross, in view of what God has done for us, in view of what Jesus has done for us, what are we to do? Offer our bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. You see, worship isn't just about us gathering here on a Sunday morning or a Sunday evening or another time of the week and singing these wonderful songs. Praying, hearing God's word read and preached. Of course that's part of worship. But according to Paul, worship is also about you and I laying down our lives for him and for each other. That's what it's about. I want to finish with a couple of examples of this, just so that we don't miss it. Does anybody know who this girl is? I'll tell you her name, Jackie Pullinger. And again, this is lovely the way God works. I use most days an app on my phone called Bible in 1 Year. Okay? Oh, if I can remember my code to open it here. And I couldn't believe it this morning that in Bible for 1 Year, this is, Nikki Gumbel writes this, you get 3 Bible readings every day and you get a little commentary on each of the 3 Bible readings. And it's brilliant. And a prayer as well after each of the 3 sections. Just listen to this. This is how today has started. Jackie Pullinger has spent her life working with the poor and the destitute. Triad gang members. Heroin and opium addicts. She has helped thousands to come off drugs through the power of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. That's not there, but I'm putting it in. Isn't that wonderful? Good news. She has seen transformation in numerous lives, and she has made a huge impact on the city of Hong Kong. She must be there, I'm sure, 30 or 40 years now. Jackie Pullinger wrote this. I love this. I have spent over half my life in a dark, foul-smelling place because I had a vision of another city ablaze with light. Hong Kong, like so many major cities of the world today, is a city of darkness. God gave Jackie a vision of a city of light, a different city. It was my dream, a city of light, where there's no more crying, no more death, no more pain. The sick are healed. Addicts are set free. The hungry are filled. There were families for the orphans, homes for the homeless, and new dignity for those who lived in shame. I had no idea how to bring this about, but with visionary zeal, I imagined introducing the walled city people, that's the people in Hong Kong, to the one who could change it all. And who is he? Jesus. And that's exactly what she's done. Look at what some of her books are called. One on the left, The Law of Love. She caught a vision of the love of Jesus for the world, and she was willing to lay down her life for others. It says on the right-hand side, this was the first book that I know about her, called Chasing the Dragon. Above it in white, love took her to the darkness of the walled city. Love. She'd caught hold of 1 John 3:16. What this passage is all about. Just listen to these words of Jackie Pullinger. She said, I went up to a man and I said, Jesus loves you. But I realized it didn't mean anything unless I did it. That's really very helpful for us folks. How are the folks out there tonight to know that Jesus loves them? Well, they'll see something of the love of Jesus in you and me or they won't. Let's go out from here tonight praying. We won't be like some of those people that man met in East Belfast who talked to him about heaven, who weren't living the right kind of life. Let's pray that people will see something of the love and truth of Christ in us. And then I love this, Jackie Bullinger, bottom half. You love people because God loved you. And you love them anyway, even if you don't see change. It doesn't matter, you just still do it. I mean, if God stopped loving you and me because we don't always change, we're finished. He keeps on loving us. It's an everlasting love. It's a loyal love. And then, have you ever heard of this man? Famous cricketer. Had a huge impact on me as a young Christian when I used to read about C.T. Studd. 19th century figure. Wonderful cricketing career ahead of him. And to the shock of many, he gave up his cricketing career to do what? To go as a missionary to India, China, Africa. And God used him powerfully. What was it motivated him? It was the truth of 1 John 3:16. Look at the bottom. If Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for him. You see, when we catch a glimpse of what God did at the cross, what Jesus accomplished at the cross, when we see the sacrifice he made, when we see how he laid down his life for us, then folks, we want to go out for the rest of our lives and lay down our lives for him and for each other. What an incredible privilege. And I love those words at the top of that as well. This was part of his vision. Some wish to live within the sound of a chapel bell. It's lovely to hear the bells ringing in churches when they do and everything like that. But hey, what's our calling? To run a rescue mission within a yard of hell. To see people coming back to the God who loves them. You see, when we see something of the grace and generosity of God, we become generous people, grace-filled people. What was the big sporting news of the last 24 hours? The big fight over in the LA? Have you heard what Tyson Fury is going to do with the £8 million that he's won? He's going to give it away to the homeless. Now, whatever his motivation is, isn't that incredible? He's been so impacted by the horror of homelessness, he's going to give all away. 8 million quid, his earnings from the big fight last night. He claims to be a Christian. Some of the first words he spoke after the fight last night were about giving thanks to Jesus Christ. What I'm saying is what John is teaching here, folks, is what it's all about. And if some of us are thinking, oh, but Jackie Bullinger, she's one of these extra special people. And C.T. Studd, well, he was a missionary. I live here in Marlin. I'm in Dollingstown. I'm not a Jackie Bullinger or a C.T. Studd. Hold on a minute. If we are disciples of Jesus, he can use you and me just as he can use anybody else. And he wants to use us in loving our families and caring for them, caring for our neighbours, the people we work with, showing acts of kindness to whoever. This morning I was preaching in Green Island and I met friends that I've known for quite a few years. This young boy in a wheelchair is one of my heroes. His name's Daniel. He's at New Wine Sligo every year. He prays for me every week. One of my prayer partners. And I just thank God for Daniel. Daniel can hardly do a thing for himself, folks. He's confined to that wheelchair every day. His mum and his dad are two of the finest Christians I have ever known. Do you know why? They're laying down their lives for the Jesus they love, and they're laying down their lives for Daniel. He can't get out of that wheelchair. He can only get out if they help him. He can't feed himself, cook, but they can feed him and cook for him. He can't dress himself. They do it. And why do they do it? Because they love him. Because they love him. Because they've caught a vision of a Jesus who's given his life for them, laid it down. And they're doing that for Daniel. And I tell you, what an impact it's making. Daniel said to me this morning, Ken, on Thursday night, I'm going to the André Roux concert. I said, Daniel, that is incredible. I said, you know, I'm going to be there too. Somebody's given Helen and I a gift of going to it. I wouldn't like to tell you what the tickets cost, folks. That's why Ballymena blood, you go if it's a gift. You'd never buy it. But I said, okay, Daniel, I'll look out for you, but I probably won't see you. It's in the Odyssey, and it's so big. I said, oh, you try and find me. I'll be where the wheelchairs are. But seriously, folks, the love I see in that family touches me every time I see Daniel. Folks, this is what it's about. It's not necessarily about being a CT stud or a Jackie Pullinger. It's about being the man or the woman, the young person God has created us to be, and going out from this church tonight to make a difference, to lay down our lives for the Jesus in loving kindness, in acts of kindness to others, in thoughtfulness, in selflessness, in generosity, just like Jesus. Let there be love shared among us. And I wonder, are we willing to make that greatest offering of all, the three words and the folded bit of paper on the collection plate? I offer myself. Let's just pray. And let's just be in silence for a few moments and just make our own response to the Lord tonight. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will touch each one of us with your Holy Spirit, that we will go out from here tonight offering ourselves afresh to you for whatever you want us to be and to do. Lord, from the bottom of our hearts we pray that the people we meet will see something of you in us. That every day of our lives, we will become more like you. And I pray, Lord, that in the power of your Spirit, you will help each one of us to lay down our lives for you, just as you, Lord Jesus, laid down your life for us. We pray for new waves of revival on this island. Lord, fill your church with love. And may the kindness that people see in your body here in Ireland lead to repentance and many coming to know you, Jesus, as Lord and Saviour. Come upon us, Lord, in Marilyn and Dollingstown, that we will be a people marked by kindness and love and generosity and grace, holiness, just like you, Jesus. In your name we pray. Amen.